still in the message series on Job. Probably next week will be our final in the series. If you'd care to follow along with the outline of your bulletin, it looks like that, that'd be wonderful. So let's begin. During his days of affliction, Job had time on his hands. Some of you have had serious illnesses. You understand what that's like. His friends, who came to comfort him, waited at his side for an entire week before speaking. Job apparently spent a lot of time reflecting on life. As Job reflected on his past, he longed for the good old days. Job chapter 29, verses 2 through 6. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, and God's intimate friendship blessed my house, when the Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream, and the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. In his distress, Job surely thought about his days gone by, days of prosperity. But he also pondered his relationship with God. Job had a lot of questions about his relationship with God. His spiritual life, by this point, was strained. Surely, Job must have thought about his loss of intimacy with God, as well as the loss of his family, his wealth, his health, his reputation. As Job lost an awareness of the presence and power of God in his life, his soul became very depressed. Now I wonder, can you remember a time in your life when your faith was stronger than it is today? Can you remember a time when God seemed more real to you than he does today? Job could remember a time when his experience with God was deep and intimate, but no longer. Job could no longer sense God's power or presence in his life. Job lost his awareness of God in several ways. The first way is this. Job lost his awareness of God's providence. In chapter 29, verse 2, Job said, "How I long for the days when God watched over me." There had been a time when Job was confident of God's guiding hand upon his life. He'd been able to see how God's protection met his needs. He'd been able to see that God's providential care was like a hedge of protection around him. But now, in Job's mind, if God was providing for him, he couldn't see it or feel it. So let me just ask, was God providing for Job? Was God protecting Job? Had God left Job? The answer to these questions and the order they were given would be yes, yes, and no. Yes, God was providing for Job. Yes, God was protecting Job. And no, God had not left Job. Now you say protection? You call that protection? His children died, all of them. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. What kind of protection is that? Fair question. Understand, however, that the mission of Satan, our enemy, is to steal, kill, and destroy. If Satan had not been restrained by God, Job would have been dead. in his first test, here's what God said to Satan. Very well, then. Everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Later, in Job's second test, Satan said to God, skin for skin. A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life. The Bible teaches that God's providential care is always at work in the lives of believers, in the lives of followers of Christ, even when we cannot feel it. May I just say, feelings are overrated, particularly when trying to evaluate what God is up to. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, very familiar verses to many of you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, one key aspect of eternal life is that we can never be separated from God or from his love, even when we do not feel it. What blessed assurance we have in surrendering our lives to Christ. The words we sang earlier are true.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Question. By the grace of God, is that your story? Are you in a right relationship with Christ where, you know what? I am praising my Savior all the day long. Job was having issues at this point. Job lost his awareness of the providential care of God over his life. But even though he could not see it or feel it, God was still there, providing for him the entire time. Beloved, the same is true for us. Even if we cannot see it or feel it, God is with those who belong to him, always and forever, providing for our needs. There's something else Job lost. Number two, Job lost his awareness of God's peace. When Job received the reports about the tragic loss of his family, and then a few minutes later, all that he owned, Job arose and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even in the face of these incredible losses. Did you hear it? The peace of God was still there. It had always been a constant factor in Job's life. And even when Job lost his health and his wife's support, Job still responded well. Job said to his wife, "Should we accept only good from God and not adversity?" So far, so good. But by the time his friends had finished bombarding him with accusations and criticisms, Job got worn out and worn down. That is when he lost his awareness of God's peace. That's also, by the way, when Job began to argue with God, suggesting that God had somehow not handled things correctly. Obviously, Job was dealing with a very extreme set of circumstances. But what about us? When life gets hard, do you lose your awareness of the peace of God? For those who are followers of Christ, God offers us the help we need when life gets stressful, if only we will avail ourselves to what he has provided. For those who are followers of Christ, when stress comes, we have assurances from God. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." May I give you the Greek translation of this entire passage in only two words? Ready? Stop worrying. Now, I do have to tell you, that is the pot calling the kettle black. And yet the truth of Scripture is the truth of Scripture. Stop worrying. My wife is chuckling now. Shh, don't chuckle so loud. When you belong to Jesus, and when you entrust yourself to Jesus, you can rest in the peace of God, which passes all human understanding. Number three, Job lost his awareness of God's purpose. Job 29:4 expresses this loss of awareness. "Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house." At some point in the past, what Job describes as "in my prime," Job was far more aware of God's purpose. At some earlier point in time, Job had a sense of mission in which he saw the purpose of God. During those days, Job had a youthful enthusiasm and a can-do spirit. The purpose of God, when it's clear in your life, will give you that. Although we cannot be certain of all that God's intimate friendship included, it may well have included a clear sense of God's purpose in his life. Let me ask you something. Do you have a clear sense of God's purpose in your life? It's very important. But in the midst of these earlier days, Job at least saw something of the purpose of God, and he surrendered himself to that purpose. Note that in the very first verse of the book of Job, it is said of Job, "This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil." How can anyone arrive at blameless and upright without surrendering him or herself to the purposes of God? The answer is, you can't. So, here he is then, these many years later, Job having lost almost everything, including an awareness of the purpose of God in his life. No wonder Job longed for the good old days. Now, it may be that you can identify with Job. I wonder, can you think back to a time in your life when God's purpose was clear, when God's purpose was the most important thing in your life, perhaps more so than today? Could it be that, like Job, you have lost some of the excitement that once filled your life? Could it be that, like Job, you've lost your sense of unbridled joy in doing the will of God? Can I tell you something? Worries and fears can keep you from doing the will of God. I hate it when I allow myself to be duped by the enemy so that fear makes the purposes of God not flow through me. What a tragedy. To have to talk about such things as past tense is truly a tragedy. Is it possible that somewhere along the way things went astray in your life, and now, as you look back, you long for the good old days? Beloved, if you are in Christ, today should be the good old days. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. In the story of Peter, you remember Peter, one of the disciples, and his denial of Christ. If you look at that, we can trace the steps in which Peter lost his sense of God's purpose in his life. First, when Jesus needed his disciples to stay awake and pray with him in the garden, Peter, as well as the others, fell asleep. There's a lesson for us. When prayer doesn't happen in our lives, it is the first step to losing a sense of God's purpose. If we're not in tune with God, we're not in tune with God. That makes sense, right? Prayer is a key. Then, when Jesus was betrayed, and his disciples should have stood with him, like they said they were going to, we learn about Peter and the others that they all deserted him and ran away. Initially, Peter used his sword to try and defend Jesus. But now, Peter followed him at a distance. Peter's progression away from Jesus continued in the high priest's courtyard, where he denied Christ three times. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Now, beloved, our denial of Jesus may or may not happen verbally. It's not every day that people come to me and say, hey, you're one of those Jesus people, right? I wish I would hear that more. But our denial of Christ comes in the things often that we do and do not do. When we live for Christ, we affirm his lordship and deity in our lives. When we live selfishly, when we ignore the things of God, when we do not follow the commands of Christ, we're just as guilty as Peter of denying Christ. Peter lost his sense of intimacy with the Lord. Soon thereafter, he also lost his sense of God's purpose. As Peter bitterly wept, kind of like Job, all he could do then was just long for the good old days. The same principle applies to you and me. When we lose our intimacy with the Lord, it won't be long. We too will soon lose our sense of God's purpose in our lives. Let me ask you something. Why did Peter and the other disciples forsake Jesus? Why? Well, it's actually pretty obvious. The first thing is this: fear. They were afraid. Jesus had been arrested. In their minds, they were next. But please know this. This kind of fear never, ever comes from God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we walk in fear, we know that our fear is not from God. Nevertheless, fear was one of the reasons that the disciples forsook Jesus. What else? Weakness. Weakness. Peter was overconfident. He was also spiritually weak. Peter said that he would never forsake Jesus. But when making this declaration, Peter had not yet learned that apart from Jesus, he could do nothing. Once again, herein is a lesson for us. We must learn to distrust our own flesh. Yes, I know that sounds kind of strange, but it's true. Let me give you an example from my life. I cannot trust myself to attend an R-rated movie. I just can't. There are things in R-rated movies, particularly sensual things, that lead me to a focus which is not good for me and is not good for my relationship with Christ. In such things, I cannot trust myself. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So, in the example given, you know how I guard my heart? I don't go. suggest don't go. But Lindy, you might be the only person in Knoxville who hasn't seen the movie. I don't care. It is more important for me to guard my heart than to see what somebody else says is a popular movie. That's an example. We must guard our heart. We cannot trust our own fleshly natures. Beloved, God has a worthwhile purpose for you. He has a worthwhile purpose for each one of us, but to get there, we must be diligent to guard our hearts. Let me ask you something. Do you really want God's purpose in your life? You know there's a cost, right? There is a cost. You cannot be Lord of your own life at the same time that Jesus is Lord of your life. There's only room for one of you on the throne of your life. If God's purpose is going to be realized in you, you must give control of your life to Jesus. What's that mean? It means that His ways must become your ways. His priorities must become your priorities. What He loves, you must come to love. And the sin that He hates, you must come to hate. Job lost his awareness of God's providence, God's peace, and God's purpose. And Jesus' disciples lost their intimacy with Christ, then they lost His purpose in their lives. So how did Jesus' disciples come back into fellowship with Him? How did the disciples get back to an intimate relationship with Jesus? And what can we learn from their example? Let's talk about awareness regained. The first thing is this. The disciples surrendered to God's will. We can pattern our renewal after Jesus' disciples' renewal by surrendering to God areas of our lives which we already know are not in line with the will of God. The disciples had been unwilling to let Jesus go away. They wanted Jesus to be their earthly king, and they wanted what they thought was their rightful place at His side. Thankfully, what they had in mind was not the will of God. So, when the disciples surrendered to God's plan, it was then that God brought peace and power back to them. Not until we surrender to the will of God in our lives will we be able to experience God's peace and power. Are you missing some of that? Are you missing some of the peace of God? Are you missing some of the power of God? Are you missing some of the purpose of God in your life? Then start by asking the question, am I in line with God's will, or am I lying to myself? We will continue to be out of fellowship with God as long as our actions and our attitudes dishonor Him. An important first step is to admit we're wrong, but that's not enough. The most important step is to actually surrender our will to the will of God. That's where the rubber meets the road. So, what is it in your life at this moment that is not what God would have it be? Do you want God's peace? Do you want God's power? Then stop being willful, stop being stubborn, surrender all to God today. Awareness regained. The second thing, the disciples were determined in prayer. Jesus' disciples prayed for 10 days after they became aware of their weak spiritual condition. They prayed together in the upper room from the time they returned from the ascension of Jesus until the day of Pentecost. With one accord, they awaited the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send the Holy Spirit, who would enable them to be Jesus' witnesses throughout the world. When our fellowship with God is strained, we need to spend time with God in prayer. Interestingly enough, when we are not where we need to be with God, that prayer thing is usually the place we least want to be. But if we're to be restored to the kind of fellowship, the kind of relationship with God, in which we are aware of His peace and His presence and His power in our lives, there's no substitute. We must become serious about prayer. So let me ask the question. Are you serious about prayer in your life? Or is prayer a little bit more like a hobby to you? Through prayer, the disciples were able to renew their fellowship with God. Job also regained his awareness of God through serious, personal prayer. There's a third thing. The disciples appropriated God's power. Jesus told his disciples, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." After they surrendered to the will of God, and after they had shown determination in praying for the promise of God, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and indwelt them in a new and real and personal way. Then, after being filled with the Spirit of God, the disciples witnessed with great power concerning the good news of Jesus. As they appropriated the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, His power, flowed through their lives, and they were able to be used of God in amazing ways. It's the same for us today. When we appropriate the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, everything changes. We're able to recapture lost intimacy. We're able to serve God in power. His strength becomes sufficient for our weaknesses. Sins that once shackled us are overcome. Therein, we experience the peace of God that passes all human understanding. Beloved, we need to do more than just long for the good old days. We need to surrender to God's will in everything. 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 We need to be serious about prayer. We need to appropriate the power of the Spirit of God. God doesn't want us to just struggle along, pining for the good old days. God wants us to fully surrender ourselves to Him. God wants His purposes to become our purposes. By the end of the book of Job, Job came to a renewed and vital relationship with God. He did more than just go back to where his life had been before all the calamities struck. By the grace of God, what Job experienced in his final years was deeper and richer than anything he had ever experienced before. Better, in fact, than the good old days. The same thing can be true for you and me. If we will repent of our sinful ways, if we will surrender all that we are to God, God will become more real to us and more precious to us than he has ever, ever, ever been before. In Christ, as we surrender all of ourselves to him, the so-called good old days will be nothing more than shadows of greater things to come. Surely, in Jesus, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father, we want to just express to you this morning that we desperately need you. God, we are not okay without you. We are not okay giving you half of ourselves instead of all of ourselves. Father, first this morning, I would pray for those of us who are in Christ by your grace. Oh Lord, may we repent. Oh Lord, may we be fully surrendered to your will for our lives. Lord, may we be surrendered to your will. Our lives don't really have much to do with it. Father, I pray that as you identify in us areas of sin, areas of weakness, areas of stubbornness, areas of pride and arrogance, oh God, may we confess these things before you as sin, and may we ask you, God, to change us from the inside out. God, we want to have all the awareness of you we can get. God, we want to have a full personal awareness of your peace in our lives. We want a full personal awareness of your power in our lives. God, we want a full, real awareness of your presence in our lives. And Father, according to your word, we believe that's what you want as well. So, Father, may we have the courage to stop pretending. May we have the courage to give everything we are, everything we have to you. And God, may you use us for your glory. Now, a word to those that perhaps don't even really have good old days to talk about. Maybe you don't have any good old days to look back on because the good old days haven't happened in your life because Christ does not live in you. If you don't have a personal, real, surrendered relationship to Christ, then the good old days won't ever happen. You need Jesus most of all. If the need of your life is to surrender yourself fully and completely to Christ, I wonder if you just would want to do that right now. The Bible says nobody comes to Jesus except the Father draws him. So this morning, if you have a sense in your heart of your need for Christ and a willingness to follow him, knowing it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you your life. Jesus wants to be Lord of your life. If you're willing to come to him on those terms, his terms, then I just want to invite you to pray with me now. God will see and hear your prayer, and he'll respond to the sincerity of your heart. Let's pray. You need Jesus. Dear Jesus, pray with me silently in your heart. Dear Jesus, I need you. God, I know I'm a sinner. I've broken your laws. Oh God, please forgive me. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for your resurrection from the dead, which gives me confidence of life eternal with you. And Father, I surrender all that I am, all that I have to you right now. Please, Jesus, make me the person you want me to be. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please look this way. Did you pray with me from the sincerity of your heart to give your life to Christ, to follow him? If yes, as we sing this song, really simple, I want you to meet me here at the front and say, Pastor, I surrendered my life to Christ. I want to pray with you, and I want to connect you with someone for just a couple of minutes who will help you know here's how you start to grow in that new relationship with Christ. So I'll meet you here at the front. Others may want to be a part of our church family. We'd love to have you. You come and let me know of your desire to be a part of this local family of believers. Maybe somebody else you received Christ, you need to be baptized. Well, we'd love to talk with you about that. I'll meet you here at the front as well. Or perhaps today, the need for you is to sing the words to this beautiful song, I Surrender All. Sing it like you mean it. Let's stand and let's sing. I'll meet you here at the front.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus.
It's time in our service to continue our worship with our giving. I want to remind you about the benevolence offering. This is the time in the service. Take one of the offering envelopes out in the back, and if you wish to do a benevolence offering at this time, please make sure you mark benevolence on the offering envelope, okay?